Welcome to the Women Who Fights podcast. We empower female fighters to take full agency over their training. Our goal is to celebrate and inspire others with the incredible action women and allies are taking to level the playing field. We talk to experts, uncover prejudice, and champion what's driving our progress.
And today we have Angela with us. Angela has been training in Thailand for the past 6 years, living out her dreams. She's fighting in the ring and fighting for equality as well. With almost 50 professional fights, Angela has an aggressive fighting style and is currently in the world rankings via WBC Muay Thai. She also runs her own website and podcast, the Muay Ying, and is a platform she uses to help inspire change for gender equality and inclusion in Muay Thai, and we want to know all about it. So hello Angela, thank you for being with us today. Can you please...
Hi guys, thanks for having me.
We would love that. Can you tell us a little bit about your life and how did you get into Muay Thai?
So I was born and raised in New York in the US, and I am the product of immigrant parents. So growing up in the US, my expectations were set pretty high because the narrative for most immigrant people for their children is that, oh, we moved to this country so you guys can have a better life. So you have to achieve our dream because we can't achieve it. So then, you know, I pretty much did everything I had to do or was expected to do. You know, I went to school, got good grades. I went to university, I got a degree. And then I remember when I was a kid, I watched a lot of martial arts movies with my dad. And I said to my dad, I was like, oh, I want to learn that. And then being that my parents were very like old fashioned, they were like, oh no, girls don't do that stuff. So then they put me in piano instead. So I never got to learn any kind of martial arts or anything like that. But when I was in studying, I think my second or third year in university, I was working part-time. So I just decided to start paying for a gym membership, just start training on my own.
Wow. And then you moved to Thailand.
If you fast forward a few years, yeah, and then I moved to Thailand. It's a little bit crazy.
So how did that happen? Were you training Muay Thai? How did you come to train Muay Thai specifically? And then what was that? Because you moved countries, I'm guessing because Thailand is where, like, that's where you can train a very, very high level. So what, like, that's a big step. Like, what pushed you to make that jump?
So it was just... I guess I was just lucky that I stumbled upon Muay Thai. It was one of these like chain kickboxing gyms that was near me, but then the instructors that were teaching there, they were actually Muay Thai fighters. So they were teaching us Muay Thai, even though through marketing reasons, they labeled it as kickboxing. So I was like hooked from like day one. I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. I feel like it's not even just like just such a good workout, but I was like, oh, I'm learning something. I'm building all these connections with like-minded people. And then there came a certain point where I was like, oh, maybe if I want to get better, I can compete. So then I asked the instructors, I was like, oh, what do you think about that? They were like, oh, that's great, but you should come over to where we train. So then when I switched over to where they're trained, they train in like a pure Muay Thai gym. And one of the things that a lot of Muay Thai practitioners do is they make like this pilgrimage trip over to Thailand just to see what things are like in like the motherland of Muay Thai. So I started training, I forgot what year, but it was a little bit before I turned 20. And then when I was 23, I made my first trip over to Thailand.
Oh,
wow. And then did you fall in love straight away?
I did. And it wasn't just the Muay Thai. It was like, you know, the weather is warm, the food is really good, the people here are really nice. So then I was in Thailand for 3 weeks, and the whole time I was telling my coach, I was like, oh, I wish that there was some way I could just stay here and work for my computer and just train and fight and not have to worry about all the BS back home. And he was like, well, you know, the gym is looking for a social media manager to stay for like 6 months. And I was like, oh, but what do I know about social media management? I don't know anything. He's like, you can do it. He's like, if you want, I'll recommend you to the boss, because they were good friends. He's like, he wants the guy to do it. But I told him, my coach was like, oh, I told him you should get a woman to do it. The woman will be on top of their shit.
Wow. And what was your parents' reaction to, you know, you saying, ciao, moving to Thailand, bye?
Oh, they were not happy. You know, they came over from like this area of the world in Asia, and then for them to like work so hard and stay in the US for decades, for their eldest child to be like, bye, I'm going back to Asia to pursue fighting. it definitely didn't go over well. They didn't talk to me for a really long time. And when I did try to call them when I was in Thailand, my dad would just kind of like pick up the phone and be like, what do you want? I'm watching TV. I was like, okay, I guess I'll talk to the dog.
Gosh.
But look, you didn't let that stop you.
No, I think because I kind of was done just doing things for the sake of doing them to make other people happy. And Muay Thai was really the first thing in my life that I chose that was just for myself. That wasn't for anything because my parents expected me to do it, because the society expected me to do it. It wasn't because of any of that. It was because I was like, oh, this is something that I want to pursue and something that I like. So when it came down to it, I was like, you know, I'm already done with school. I don't have anything tying me down. There's really no reason why I shouldn't try to live out in Thailand for at least a little bit. So originally I was only going to stay in Thailand for 6 months, and now it's been 6 years.
Wow. Are you still the social media manager?
No, I'm not. I was for the first 3.5 years, and you know, some stuff happened, but I learned a lot of stuff having that role as social media management.
Yeah. Wow. So what's your, did you do any sport as a kid? So in my mind, I want to understand your journey from becoming someone maybe who didn't do a lot of sport to now training as a professional athlete, like full time, essentially as much as you can, and fighting, competing. So I'd love to know like what your day looks like and how that felt like. Was that transition smooth?
So I was always really active, even as a child. I was always like running around, rollerblading. I didn't really participate in a lot of those organized sports just because my parents couldn't really afford to put me in anything like that. But when I was in high school, I was on a track team. I played handball, which is a very New York City sport. So I was on a handball team. Before I got into Muay Thai, I was doing kind of all sorts of stuff just to try out. Like I tried spin, I tried yoga, I tried like boot camp classes. So I was really active and I really enjoyed the physical challenge. So when I found Muay Thai and I thought it was like one of the most physically challenging things that I had ever done, I was like, yes, I'm going to stay with it because this is fun. So going from that, training Muay Thai and training at, I would say, arguably one of the best gyms in New York. And then going into training in Thailand, the biggest difference was definitely the volume in training. So when I first got to Thailand, my first few years here, I would wake up at like a little bit before 5 a.m., start running at 5 a.m., run for an hour, so 10 to 12 kilometers. Run for an hour, go to the gym, train for an hour and a half to 2 hours, go back to my room, shower, eat, take a nap, and at 2 p.m., run, and then train again until about 4:30 or 5. So this is rinse and repeat, 2 times a day, 6 days a week. So the volume of training was really the biggest difference. But oddly enough, I think it's not as, I don't want to use the word intense, but in the US, the way that the Muay Thai gyms are structured is because everyone has like jobs or they have other responsibilities. They can't just be in the gym all day. So then a lot of the things they're kind of put and jammed packed into one training session. So you get like the conditioning, the pad work, the clinching, the sparring, all in like the 1.5, 2 hour sessions. But in Thailand, it's split up into two separate sessions. So in some ways, it's more exhausting training in Thailand because of the volume. But in other ways, it's not as exhausting because it's not as intense per minute of training, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's more designed for a full-time athlete.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you were full-time, right? So,
yes. Okay. I pretty much became full-time when I came here.
Yeah. So that's sorry if that is an ignorant question, but does full-time athlete means if my body is aching and I don't feel like it, I still have to go?
Yeah. It's very much a job out here. Like I definitely didn't view it as such, and sometimes I still don't view it like that. But when you look at a lot of the Thai fighters, this is just like going to school or going to their job every day, and it's not something like they can be bothered to do most of the time, but they have to do it because they have to make a living.
Wow.
Okay.
And yeah. you run a platform advocating for gender equality and inclusion in Muay Thai. Why did you start it? What was the need? Tell us a little bit more.
So my first 6 months here, I remember when I first came to Thailand, I was like, I don't know of any like professional Thai female fighters, and I'm in the motherland of Thailand. But then my first six months here, like looking at the news, the Muay Thai news and the Muay Thai journals and stuff, I was like, there's actually a lot of professional fighters here, but there's just no publicity on them. And even back home, like I only knew of male fighters. I only really ever saw male fighters on TV and media. Not that there were like a whole bunch of Muay Thai like publications, but then the ones that I did see, they were always talking about the same male fighters. So then I was like, well, I'm out here in like the heart of it all. Why don't I just start kind of publishing names and just taking photos and just putting their names out there, just so people, maybe like people like my past self, could know like, oh, there are people out there that are women and fight professionally and are fighting at a very high level. It's not just men.
Wow. And what was the, how have you seen that? Has that changed and evolved over the last 6 years?
So I went from just really giving like fight news and fight results, and now it's kind of evolved into something where people can kind of drop by on the site to kind of prepare for their trip to Thailand, see what they might expect as a person, or especially as a woman, since that's really what my platform is geared towards. And as I've been learning more about inclusion myself, I've been trying to include more like non-binary and trans voices on my platform too, instead of just cis women.
Amazing. And what is it like being a female fighter then in Thailand?
It's really frustrating. And I would say like, if you really don't love fighting and training in Muay Thai, I mean, I probably would have given up a long time ago, because there's just so many hurdles here, especially in Thailand. Like, one of the major hurdles is the money. Like, the purse sizes for a female fighter, they probably top out at about like 20,000 baht on the televised shows, which is about $600 USD. But a male fighter with the similar amount of experience or even less, they'd be making like 4 to 5 times that amount easy. And so I've been here for 6 years, and it wasn't until I was here for like 3 years that I started making about 10,000 baht a fight. So that's about $300. But I had a friend who came in, it was like his second month here. His first fight in Thailand, he fought at like the tail end of that, of like some random show, and he automatically got paid that much. And that's just straight based off his gender. Obviously not off merit, obviously not off like, oh, who else did he win against, or who is he? It's just the fact that, oh, he's a man, obviously he gets paid more.
Oh, that must drive you mad.
It drives me insane. And that's actually why a lot of the Thai female fighters, they retire by the time they're like 22, 23. They stop fighting because they're like, well, I'm not really making money from doing this. And then they just get a random job, do an office job, and then they can make more money that way without, getting beaten up. So,
yeah,
it's really frustrating.
Is there anything being done? I mean, because that is... There's a pay gap in every industry, isn't there? But that is stark. The difference is really quite stark. Is there anything that you can see changing that, or is that not really changed at all?
I think right now, if you look at the past couple of years, female Muay Thai is becoming more of a profitable sector. So then now spaces that have traditionally been male only, like, for example, Lumpini Boxing Stadium, they had the infamous signs like all over the ring saying like, ladies, don't touch the stage. Like, women couldn't put their hands on the ring, forget about even fighting on it. But then sometime last year, they started allowing women to fight in the ring, because there have been other promotions that have shown like, oh, you know, women's Muay Thai is kind of on the rise. This is like a profitable thing. So they kind of wanted to jump on the bandwagon. I mean, for me, it's like, all right, maybe not the best of reasons, but in the grand scheme of things, it's like, well, at least women are getting more opportunities to fight now. And people are seeing the value of women in the industry. So I would say like those kind of shows trying to get the sponsors and stuff, I think as the women's scene is getting pushed to become bigger and bigger, then there will be increases in pay. But I don't think there's anything really actively being done about it. I mean, the thing in Thailand is like a lot of the sexism, it's just like it's very explicit and outright. Like, I can't even tell you how many times like a trainer would just be like, oh no, you're a woman, you can't do that. Or, oh, you're a woman, you can't go in that ring. It's like, at least like in the US, they kind of hide these like sexist things behind other things, which is, I guess, not like better or worse. But in here, it's just like culturally, they just a lot of times, and especially in the Muay Thai industry, they just say, oh, well, obviously not because you're a woman.
And did you have any backlash on the work that you do with your platform?
You mean from Thai people or just in general?
In general, but Thai people included.
No, not really. I think most of the stuff that I'm publishing, it's also not news to them. And I'm not exactly writing anything that's like pointing fingers or calling out names. I think if I was doing that, then it would be a lot more problematic. What I'm doing is just basically kind of calling attention to an issue. But if like, so most, I would say most Thai people in the Muay Thai industry, they're not fluent in English. So they wouldn't even be reading my blog. Most people that do follow my blog, they're, outside of Thailand. So they're in the US or UK, Australia, etc. And these are the people who are like, oh, I didn't know that about Thailand, or I didn't know that like the differences between the men and the women fighters were so stark. I'm pretty sure if you got like a Thai person who's in the Muay Thai industry to read it, they'd be like, oh, well, yeah, I already knew that, but what do you want me to do about it?
Right.
Yeah.
Are there any people like gym owners or anything pushing, because often you need an ally, don't you? You need people, male allies, who are going, no, I'm going to make a space for women. And yes, of course they can do that. And is there anyone there that is able to, is doing that, or is that, is not there yet?
I think the people who are doing it, they're not doing it with like, they're not like the very outspoken type of people. They're kind of doing it by like, oh yeah, of course. Like, of course you belong here. Of course you belong in the training. Oh, we'll help you get fights. We'll make sure you get good training. Doing things on kind of like a logistic level rather than kind of just being loud and just saying like, oh yeah, you know, like you need to stop treating women this way. So about like a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was actually a preposition to have women fighters in Thailand start fighting with elbow pads on. And they would never suggest such a thing for the men. And the thing was, it was like, but women, their faces are so beautiful. They shouldn't be getting cut. and stuff like that. So the thing is, like, me and a bunch of other long-term professional fighters, we were outraged. We, like, you know, took to social media, and then we were just like, no, screw your elbow pads and stuff. But then if you look at, like, the Thai female fighters, a lot of them, they're just very, I don't want to use the word submissive, but they're very much like, I guess they kind of are accepted. This is the situation. This is the culture that they're in. So a lot of, like, Thai female fighters, they didn't exactly protest that. A lot of the voices were us non-Thai fighters that were like, no, this is ridiculous, this is really sexist, and things like that. So I think when you're not hearing, when the Thai people aren't hearing from people of their country against it, and they're just hearing these non-Thai people screaming about it, then they're just kind of like, ah, oh, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So you think if someone local, like, who was Thai, said what you were saying, it would be more heard?
I do believe it would be more heard, because they would understand it a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
Have you created a community there with the other female Muay Thai fighters then? And are any of these local?
So I would say, in general, it's really hard to create friendships with people here as a fighter, because the people who come to train Muay Thai, most of them are not like me, who just come and stay for like years. Most of them just come and stay for like a few weeks. Every now and then you meet someone who stays for like a month or two, and then they go home. So it's, I would say, creating a community, it's a little bit difficult. But I have met a few people that I do keep in close contact with, and we talk about stuff like this all the time. So one of them is Emma Thomas. She runs the blog called Under the Ropes, and she's actually been out here for longer than I have. And she was one of the first friends that I met out here in Bangkok. And, you know, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. It is hard for some of the reasons I mentioned before, like, you know, Emma's English and I'm American. It's just like, it's a little bit, sometimes, like, we want to say what we want to say, but we want to say it in a palatable way to the Thai people, because Thai people, they don't really do well with, I guess, just like bluntness in general. They find it very disrespectful, especially if it's coming from a woman. They're like, oh, you know, women shouldn't be saying things like this or talking like that. So it's hard because, like, Emma can be very strong-headed, and so can I with our opinion. So then just trying to get people to kind of listen to us, we kind of have to play their game a little bit sometimes, and it's frustrating.
How do you play the game? How do you become heard?
So what I usually do is, instead of, if I see something happen at the gym, right, for example, instead of getting angry and, like, just saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, whatever, right, I would attempt to lead and set the example with my own actions. So if there's another woman and I hear the trainers saying either inappropriate stuff, or if they're not including her in the training in some way, then I'll be like, hey, put on your gloves or put on your shin guards and let's spar. Or, hey, you should be doing this. Like, I will do things upon myself, so I make them feel included. And if they feel included, they're more inclined to keep coming back to the gym, keep training, keep making themselves being seen, being heard. And I'm hoping it's through things like that, that it would start changing people's minds about women fighters here.
Definitely. What kind of inappropriate behavior have you experienced in the gym?
Ooh. At the first gym I was training at, there was a trainer who would just, he would just hit on me for like, he was at the gym for a year and he hit on me for 10 months. And it wasn't just some like light flirting stuff. He would, like, when I'm warming up, he would just sit like 2 meters away from me, just stare at me as I'm jumping rope or as I'm just like shadow boxing. And then if I had to like clinch with him or spar with him, he'd make like inappropriate comments to me. Like one time he was like, he said in Thai, he's like, oh, your boobs are small. So So that's something.
Well, as
that
like
was,
a, why would you say what like?
I don't know. I don't know. But one time it got so overwhelming for me that he put his face like right here, and I just clocked him because I was like, you need to stop. Because I was like, and at that point I just didn't care about like the hierarchy, the social hierarchy in the gym and stuff. I was just like, you need to stop because like I've been telling you to stop doing this for a really long time and you won't stop. And the messed up thing is like a lot of the other Thai trainers or the Thai fighters, they'll see this as funny behavior. They think it's entertaining. So then they'll say like, oh, haha, look, you know, he's bothering Angela again. And then when I did that, like a lot of the fighters came at me and was like, Angela, no good. You shouldn't be hitting a teacher. I was like, I'm no good. He shouldn't be saying all those things to me, you know? So yeah, it's just an example of like just the outright kind of sexism that exists here.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And talk to us about the social hierarchy that you're talking about. So what, how does, yeah, go on.
So teachers in Thailand are very, very respected. So a trainer would be considered a teacher. So they're in a gym. After the person who owns the place, they would be at the top of the social hierarchy. And then below them would be the fighters according to age. So for me, because I'm one of the fighters, then I'm below any of the trainers on the social hierarchy. So if I'm below, then it's up to me to greet them first, to, you know, oh, I'm leaving, I have to tell them that, oh, I'm leaving, you know, I have to be polite to them, I have to speak to them in a polite way in Thai. I can't speak to them casually unless we have that kind of rapport, but it's not common. So yeah, that's an example of the hierarchy. So then a lot of the Thai fighters, they stick to the hierarchy pretty strictly. So then if they see someone as someone who's like above them, it's like, oh, you cannot do anything disrespectful to them. If anything disrespectful happens to you, just take it. And for me, it was just like, well, there's only so much that I can take, especially in terms of harassment. Like, I'm not just going to stand there and let some guy just keep harassing me for like 10 months and nothing is being done about it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And are there any, have you ever felt unsafe in that environment? And are there any safeguarding procedures? I mean, I don't know if there would be at that kind of gym, but.
I have never felt unsafe, but I've definitely felt unwelcome, if that makes sense. Like, I've never felt like, oh, my life is in danger or I'm in danger in any way. I haven't felt that. But I think it's also because the first gym I was at, I already knew the head trainer, so I already felt like I was being looked after, even though this other trainer was like, you know, harassing me. And then the gym that I'm training at now, it's a really big gym and there's a lot of people there. So I never really feel like I'm unsafe in any way.
Mm-hmm. Are there any, do the gyms have any kind of procedures in place if something actually happened to you, like that was non-consensual in that space?
I would say most gyms in Thailand, they don't have any policies in place for that. I would say if something happened that maybe broke a law, then they might take some action, and that's a might. The good thing about the gym I'm at now is that the manager, if there's a hard rule on like you cannot flirt or go out with any of the women that train at the gym. And one time there's this Thai student that came in to train, and then there was this trainer that would always send her inappropriate messages, and she showed the messages to the manager, and the manager fired the trainer on the spot. So, but that's not behavior you see often, unfortunately. Like, usually what you get is like, ah, just ignore it. Ah, you know, he's just being himself. Ah, boys will be boys kind of thing, you know? So yeah, so it's like people who don't know any better are just enabling this kind of behavior.
Yeah. And why did you change gyms, if you don't mind me asking?
So the first gym I was at for 4 years. And then I left right before the pandemic hit. And I left because I kind of just saw the gym just going really downhill. I didn't have any sparring or coaching partners left because all the fighters were sold off. So I just wanted a gym where I can get like suitable training partners. Yeah.
And how do people perceive women in Muay Thai now as we speak? And tell us a little bit about the new gym. Have you always been taken seriously since you went there?
So one of the things that me and a lot of other women struggle with when going to a new gym is being taken seriously, because a lot of times, like, the assumption is, oh, a woman, she must not be a fighter. She must just be here for like fitness reasons or stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's like, you can't just make that assumption off the bat and give a woman shitty training. So a lot of the gyms that I've dropped in at throughout the years being here would just be like, oh, the trainer's just like playing around on the pads, making me do all sorts of stuff that just don't make sense, until I start hitting them hard and they're like, oh, she knows what she's doing. Whereas like any man, they could just go into a gym and then they would just get like top of the line training without even asking for it, whether or not they're a fighter. So the reason why I really like the gym I'm at now is because the first day I dropped in there, there was none of that nonsense. It was like, oh, you're here to train? Okay. So, and then they just brought me through the ropes as if like I was just one of the fighters. They just took me seriously from the get-go. There wasn't any of that like, oh, do this jumping Superman punch, do this flying knee for no reason. There was none of that. It was like, okay, go harder, go faster. This is how you do things correctly and stuff. So that, like, that really meant a lot to me, because I don't know, I'm just so tired, you know. I'm just so tired of going to these new places and like having to fight for like my right to be recognized and get respect.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
You've mentioned some really inappropriate behavior from that coach. How does that sort of behavior affect your mentality? And has it changed for you as you've gotten older and more experienced?
Back then it was like, it was stressful for me, because it was sometimes I actually didn't want to train because I was like, oh, I don't want to see him. I don't want to interact with him. I don't want him to like go near me or like make comments about my body, or I just didn't want that stress. Like, for me, training is something that helps me release stress. It's something that I really enjoy. So it's like, I didn't want to go into an environment and have him just like pretty much just like, I don't know a good word for it, just kind of poison that environment, you know? So for those 10 months, it was like, it was like, all right, time to train. But I was like, oh, I hope I don't see him, or I hope he doesn't bother me today. Or, you know, it's not something that anyone should have to go through, you know? Like, if someone wants to train, they should just be able to go and train without worrying about being harassed by someone who works there. But now that I'm not just older, but I guess more aware, and I'm more comfortable setting my own boundaries. I mean, I haven't really met any trainer that has done that before, but I've definitely met some fighters that would try to do that kind of inappropriate behavior, but I shut it down real quick. So what I usually do is, if I sense that they're kind of like not just coming on to me, but just like trying to be inappropriate with me, I just go stone cold. Like, my face just like no emotion. I just answer them like really shortly and I walk away, because just from my experience, it's like, if you are nice to people who do that, then they just think it's okay to keep doing it. So, and for me, I study psychology too. So then when I learned about like positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement, I used that right away. I was like, all right, this is how I'm going to tell people without telling them how not to speak to me.
Tell us a little bit more about that. Maybe people from our audience want to know about the negative reinforcement and positive reinforcement.
Okay. So negative reinforcement is when you want someone's behavior to stop happening, and so you do something to negatively enforce that, so they would eventually taper it off or not do it at all. And positive reinforcement is if you want someone to keep doing something, so you reward them with something. So for example, if a dog, right, is always biting your arm, maybe not like to harm you, but just like to play, but you don't want them to do that, then a negative reinforcement you might do is ignore them and not play with them. And then they'll eventually learn like, oh, I can't do this if I want to play. So then they eventually will stop trying to bite your arm to get that play time. So that's kind of like what I was doing with one of the fighters who was trying to be inappropriate with me. He would talk to me and stuff, and then I would just kind of not give him a smile, not give him the attitude that he wants, and walk away. And then eventually he did stop. So I successfully negatively reinforced that behavior. So he stopped the behavior that I didn't want. And something that I like to do to positive reinforce the behavior. So like when a trainer like includes the women or like asks me to like be part of something or ask another woman to be part of something, I really go up to them and be like, oh, thank you so much for doing this. You're such a great coach, you know, just giving them compliments. So then they feel good about it. And then they associate that behavior of including a woman with, oh, this is a good thing that I'm doing. And then they'll be more likely to do it again in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's so useful to know. And is there, moving on a little bit, do you think about your cycle, your hormonal fluctuations during the month, and do you work with that with your training, or can you, you know, if you've got a fight coming up, I guess you're a bit more limited, but in general?
No, I would say I don't really speak about those things with my trainer, just because of how a lot of things in Thai culture are here. I don't see anything wrong with talking about my period to my trainer, but because my trainer was brought up here, he might see it as like inappropriate, or oh, that's too much information. Why is she telling me this? Or the other thing is like a lot of them are not educated on the cycle in general and why I might feel the way I feel. I mean, that's not even just like a Thai thing. There are a lot of coaches I know in the US that are like, oh, it's just all in your head. Get over it, you know? So it's not unheard of for any man to tell us women that our PMS symptoms are not real, or, oh, how can you be tired because of your period, or, you know, things like that, just because they haven't experienced it themselves. So I don't really talk to my trainer about my period, but for me, if my period, like if I'm getting really bad cramps, I would just take the day off, because if it's to the point where I can barely run, I can barely stand and like walk around, I'm not going to be jumping around and having people punch me in the stomach. So I would just take the day off. And then if they ask me, where were you yesterday? I'll just tell them, oh, my stomach hurt, which isn't technically lying. I'll just say, oh, my stomach hurt. But if they keep asking questions, then I'll tell them, oh, I had my period. Because if you want to know so bad, then okay, I'll tell you I had my period. But then they usually don't. They're usually like, oh, okay. Because I'm there like every day. So for me to take like just one day off a month, they don't really say anything about it. But luckily for me, like if I have to, I only really have to take that one day off for my period. I know some women that they have to take the entire week off. So yeah, I'm lucky.
And what would you do if your fight day falls on the day of the month that you're like exhausted? Would you still?
Oh, it's happened.
Yeah, would it's you still happened. Go to the fight?
Yeah, I would still do it. Yeah, just because like, even though the opportunities have gotten better throughout the years, it's still like, there's still few and far in between the fights, especially when I first got here. Like sometimes I would like, it would be a fight day and then it would be like the second day of my period. I hate the worst day where I had like the worst cramps or like the heaviest flow. So But during those times, it was just like, well, you know, I train for this fight. And if I don't take this fight, who knows when the next time I'm going to be able to fight is? Who knows when I'm going to get matched up again? So it's like, well, I'll just take the fight. If I lose, I lose. At least I got to fight.
Wow. So, even if it impacts
and the things like
your performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it might not be... how do I say it? I feel like most fighters don't ever go into a fight 100% anyway. There's always some kind of injury. There's always something bothering us. Like, none of us are 100% for every single fight. And as women with our cycles, it's not like we can choose. We can tell the promoter, hey, don't put me on for this date because of my period. Put me on for another date because, you know, I mean, in an ideal world, I guess that would be great if there were fights like all the time, but there aren't fights all the time. So we just have to kind of take what we can get. And for me, it's like, all right, I might not be physically injured, but if I'm not feeling my best because of my period, well, I'd rather still be fighting, which is something that I love doing.
And thinking about your fights, you know, your competitive fighting, what has been, how do you prepare yourself mentally for it?
It's changed a little bit throughout the years, but right now how I prepare for it is I really believe in what I did during training. Like, I really believe that I did everything that I possibly could to prepare myself. I trust my trainer. I believe that he did everything he could to possibly prepare myself. And I don't know if you know, but like right before a Muay Thai fight, you get to seal the ring. And during that time is really when I start talking to myself and kind of like manifest what I want. So like, as I'm sealing the ring, I really take my time. Like, all right, you got this, you're prepared. Just keep your hands up, protect yourself, listen to your corner, and everything will be fine. So if I tell myself those things for all my fights, win or lose, as long as I did my best, then I'm okay with it, even if I lost. So,
wow. And so what happens if you lose? If you've prepared yourself like that, you don't come away from it upset or anything. You sort of accept it and can take it into training.
Yes, but if I underperformed for whatever reason, then I get really upset, and so do my trainers. They get really upset too. And those instances, those have only really happened when I overtrained. When I overtrained, then it would be like, well, you know, I spent all my energy not recovering, and then during the fight, of course, I'm not performing. But unfortunately, I didn't know a lot of those things until after the fact, like way after the fact. It would be like 2 months after the fight, I'd be like, oh yeah, I definitely overtrained for that fight. That's why I felt like crap. But yeah, so most of my fights, I do try to perform at my best, whatever my best is. But yeah, during the times that I overtrain, I just really can't.
And how do you know if you've overtrained? Like, what's your sustainable level of training? Because Muay Thai is quite harsh.
Yeah. So it's kind of been a trial and error thing for me to really recognize the signs of overtraining for myself. How I recognize it now is I ask myself, is this leaking into other areas of my life? Am I just tired during training, or am I tired doing everything else too? Do I feel like down? Do I feel like I just don't have the motivation to do anything? Because when you overtrain a lot, there's a lot of like similar symptoms to depression. And so if I'm not just tired and I'm not just dreading going to the gym, but I also don't want to hang out with my friends, I also don't want to go out to eat, I also don't want to do everything that I normally want to do, then it's like, all right, I probably am overtraining.
Okay. And what does overtraining look like for you? How much is overtraining?
I would say my overtraining doesn't come from the training itself, but it comes from not taking enough rest. So before, I would fight, and then I would take the morning session off, and then by the afternoon, the next day, I would be back at the gym. So that's not nearly enough time. And then I did, like, I think 6 fights like that, back to back to back, and then lo and behold, that 6th fight I lost like really bad because I didn't recover at all. So so then now what I do is after every fight, I force myself to take a full week off, whether or not I'm hurt, whether or not like I want to, if I have the energy to train, I just force myself to take that week off because I know that if I keep training and training and training, it's going to catch up to me. And then before I know it, it's like, you know, I get those same feelings again of like, oh, I don't want to do anything. Oh, I just can't lift my legs up, et cetera, et cetera.
And do you supplement your training with any weightlifting training as well?
Yes, I did for a really long time, but as of like 2 years ago, I started lifting weights most mornings and doing like a sport specific like a strength and conditioning routine along with like sprinting and running. Before, I would just do like the 10 to 12 kilometer run and do some push-ups and sit-ups and call it a day in addition to my Muay Thai training. But I was slow, and then like I had like I was training all the time, but I just couldn't understand why I couldn't like lose a lot of the weight and stuff. And then when I started implementing the weights into my program and I started getting more lean muscle and the weight started coming off, then things started making a little bit more sense to me.
And because as women, we have to mostly spar with men, and obviously you have to adjust and you have to learn how to do that. Do you have good male training partners, and how do you navigate that difference? Is there anything that you do to help that and make it realistic so that when you do have a fight, you're like, you're ready?
Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of great male training partners at the gym. And I think the thing that's really important is I don't try to spar with people who are like 50 kilos bigger than I am. You know, I walk at like about 54, 55 kilos. So the highest I would try to spar with is someone who's like maybe 65 kilos. Anyone bigger than that, it's not really going to translate into what I'm trying to do. And it's not going to help them either because we're like 10 kilograms apart. So when I spar, I try to look for people closer to my size. And with traditional Thai sparring, it's technique based. So we're not hitting each other super hard, but we're hitting each other like just hard enough. So we have to block or we have to react to the movement. With that being said, I have really, really good male training partners, and they really push me during sparring, during clinching. And sorry, what was the question? It was how can I navigate that, or
how do you navigate the difference between training with men and women and make it realistic so that when you have a fight, you're prepared?
I would just say like during sparring, when I try to kind of outscore them with the strikes, then they're more inclined to also try to outscore me. I think a lot of men, when they spar with women, when they start outscoring the women, they kind of lay back and they're just like, whatever, I don't really have to do that much because I already outscored them in sparring anyway. But for me, I really make it a point to try to outscore them. So it's fun for them too. Not to say like just because they're men, they're automatically better than women. But being that I am in Thailand, these guys have like hundreds and hundreds of fights. So they are, most of them by default are better than most average people that come to Thailand. So I do try to outscore them, and it makes it more fun for them. So then they do try to match my pace.
And how often do you train with women? Are there like standard, you know, numbers in the gym and every time?
I would say because of COVID, even less, because there's just less people coming into the gym, less people visiting the country. But even when I was at my first gym before COVID, not a whole lot of women. Like, women would come in and they would stay for maybe 3 weeks. Some of them would come with their boyfriends and just kind of become like their boyfriend's shadow in a way. And I just didn't really get to train with a whole lot of women. I did get to train with a few that stayed for a few months, but not that many. When I first joined the gym that I'm at, I have a friend who was already training at the gym, and I was training with her quite often, but now she recently had to get knee surgery and stuff. So it's just me. Most of the times I'm the only woman at the gym. And for me, it does feel strange because it's the cultural stuff too. This is the cultural stuff, like, oh, this is not just a woman, but like a foreign non-Thai woman. So a lot of the people in the gym, they just kind of, they don't interact with me the same way as they do with the men. Yeah. God. It's a lot.
How do you, because I think earlier I said it sounds exhausting, and how do you find the energy to, I mean, obviously you love Muay Thai and that's why you're still doing it, I guess it's just, how do you manage to deal with that, like how where do you find the motivation to be like, right, no, I'm going to keep pushing this? Because you're the kind of person who'll be breaking all these barriers. Women, younger girls will come in eventually and see you and be like, she's still doing it, she's my role model. And so that's really important. But how are you doing that without necessarily a role model within your gym to follow?
So that's a work in progress for me as well. I definitely have moments where I get really frustrated and I just don't want to train anymore. But I would say, because of a lot of the work that I've also just been doing on myself in general, I just think about what it is that I want, and everything else is secondary. So even if I get some anxiety from, you know, speaking to some of the because at the gym I'm at, it's huge. So there's like dozens and dozens and dozens of Thai fighters, and they're all men. So it's like, even have to get the anxiety of like running, being the only woman running amongst them in the morning, or having to see them in the afternoon and I have to ask them to, hey, can you like clinch with me or spar with me and stuff. If I just put myself in the gym first and I just get myself there, then for me, everything else just kind of follows because I know what I have to do. It's like, what they say, like, the hardest part about running is like putting on your shoes and getting out the door. It's not actually the running itself. It's kind of like a similar analogy. Like the hardest part sometimes is just, it's just getting there. But once you're there, it's like, all right, then this is kind of what I have to do.
Amazing. Well, you'll be our breaking grounds if you're the only woman in the gym most of the time.
I mean, I really wish there are more women that would stay long term here. I mean, I'm not the only one, so I'm not saying like I'm the only long term foreign fighter in Thailand, but there's just, I just feel like there aren't enough, and there aren't enough of us like working together. You know, I feel like I know of some in Chiang Mai, I know of some in other gyms in Bangkok, I know of a bunch in Phuket, but none of us are working together and helping each other prepare for fights. So it's a little bit unfortunate.
Do you think, is there a reason for that? Or is it because distance or schedules or different teams are like that?
I think it's more of a team thing. Some gyms get a little bit weird about their students going to other gyms for any reason, even if it's just a spar, even if it's just like one-off thing. People are
if it's girls and like you need a female partner.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the gym. Not all gyms are like that, but Bangkok is also really big and a lot of the gyms are just really spread apart, and trying to coordinate people who are like in all corners of the city, so like, oh, okay, which gym do we go to, like are we going to go to your gym, are you going to come to my gym and stuff. Sometimes the logistics of setting it up are a little bit difficult, especially if the people that we're talking about, they're like, oh, I feel like I'm okay here, I could just spar with the people here, then they're not super motivated to really go out the way and spar with other women.
I'll ask a very, very it might be stupid question. Do you think women's only gyms will be a thing at some point?
I feel like they're already starting to become a thing. If you look at Fairtex, right? Fairtex is a legendary name in the Muay Thai industry. Back in the 90s, they had all these like superstar fighters, all men. And right now, they have men in their gym, but most of their superstar fighters are women. And there's a couple other gyms that are also becoming like that, where it's just like they're just getting more and more women. So then like the ratio of men to women, like a lot at these select gyms, the ratio of women to men is very overwhelming. And it's really the women who are giving a name to the gym now. So I feel like because it's proving
to work
that women can be profitable. Yeah, they're good. They're profitable in the industry, that more gyms are like, all right, let's get the women. So there are some gyms like Fairtex. Muay Thai Academy has like a very strong women's fight team. I think they have like 3 or 4 women on their fight team. I don't know of any men that actually fight out there. There's this I forgot the name of the gym, but there's this all Thai female gym of all Thai fighters that I actually fought like 3 people out of that gym. So it's been pretty cool.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, that's great. That's good to know. do you have any future plans with, you know, how do you see the next 5 to 10 years? For yourself?
I don't want to keep fighting in 5 to 10 years. I'm hoping I would have already achieved everything I wanted to achieve in terms of fighting. So I'm ranked now by WBC, so I'm hoping to fight for the WBC belt at some point. I'm hoping to fight on ONE Championship, which is like the biggest promotion right now for Muay Thai and also the best paying. And so I'm hoping within, I would say maximum 4 to 5 years, that I would achieve everything that I want to. And then if I don't achieve it, it's okay. I still have stories for days that I can go on and on and on about all these experiences of a lifetime. I would love to open up my own gym one day. I just don't know when in terms of the timeline, because money, and then I have to figure out the location and things like that. Like being here in Thailand, it's not like I'm exactly becoming rich from being a fighter. So it's not like I have funds to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Will that be in Thailand? Your next next 10 years, will that be in Thailand still?
I don't think so. But also, I'm not someone to say never. So I don't see myself being here forever. Like, I do like it here, but there are certain things, like the explicit sexism, that just drive me insane. And it's like, I'm one person trying to like navigate all these things, and I can only try to make people around me see the world a little bit differently, and how they want to take that, if they want to share those viewpoints with their friends, or, you know, take it to social media, that's totally on them. But I don't see it as my responsibility per se to change the people here. And it would also be kind of rude to, I guess, like just someone coming to their country and be like, this is how you should be doing things.
Right. Sure. So these leads us to the last question that we ask everybody we have on our podcast. This could be interpreted the way you want it to, either general or specific. What are you fighting for, Angela?
To be honest, I think I'm fighting for what the younger me would have really wanted but didn't know she wanted. So when I was younger, I just really wanted a sense of independence, a sense of purpose, a sense of being like valued in the world. And because just from such a young age, it was like, oh, there are all these limitations because of my gender, or these are all these limitations because of my upbringing. But I'm pretty sure right now I'm trying to kind of just give like a big middle finger to everyone who doubted me when I was younger, and just kind of do my thing and try to prove all of them wrong.
Fair enough. Awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with us today. It's been really insightful.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast, and credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk, and check out our website for more content.